Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
We get into the big result from yesterday. PSG hosting Borussia Dortmund in the second leg of Champions League semifinals. Dortmund headed into this tie with a 1-0 advantage yesterday when we spoke about it. Not really anybody at this desk gave Dortmund much of a chance in this one. And yet, this team continues to prove everybody wrong. They get it done at Parc des Princes. Here's how it went down.
What a huge moment it is for Kylian Mbappe and company to win in front of this crowd. Borussia Dortmund with a stunningly good performance in the first leg, seizing a 1-0 advantage. Still so much to be decided over the second 90 minutes of this tie. Mbappe through the area, Ramos got a piece, and Zaire Emery straight into the post! Lifted at pace, towards the back post, re-enter, and it's Mats Hummels to double Borussia Dortmund's advantage in this semi-final! One step towards Wembley. So close again, the second time they've been denied by that post. Off the woodwork again. A fourth time tonight. Borussia Dortmund are into the Champions League final for the first time in 11 years.
Just wow. I mean, this Borussia Dortmund team continues to defy the critics. They're going to be playing in the Champions League final at Wembley Stadium on June 1st. Again, we didn't really give them a chance in this competition, but look at what they have achieved throughout this Champions League campaign. They finished first in the group of death. They get through PSV. They get through Atletico Madrid. They take down PSG and Mbappe. They keep them scoreless through two legs. When you think about this performance, and you said it yesterday, Nico, this has been like a Jekyll and Hyde team when you look at what they've done in Bundesliga, but for some reason in Champions League, they just have this winning formula. What has impressed you the most, and how have they gotten this done, Lahoud?
I feel like the word that I think of when I watched yesterday's performance was they suffered. And if you're a team that's not been typically good away from home in the Champions League, you got to be good defensively when it counts most. And the center backs, defensive midfielders, everyone carried the water for each other. They suffered collectively, and the collective outshone the individual stars.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. They were warriors. You think of the Dortmund teams of the past, this might be the least star-studded and probably the weakest man for man. But collectively, what they showed over two legs where they were superior for the vast majority of the 180 minutes between them and PSG, they showed so much strength in numbers. They were robust, they were organized, they had a plan. Versus PSG yesterday, was the first half was terrible. Mm-hmm. The rhythm was so slow. 45 minutes were wasted yesterday for PSG. And they really only ramped it up when Terzic decided to take out Adeyemi and Sancho and cede almost half an hour of defensive play and allow PSG to just go at them. It felt very risky at the time because it only needed one goal for kind of the house of cards are crumbling down, but that house of cards was built on cement pillars. And
or a post.
I'm just picturing that in my head.
or
a couple posts. Yeah.
But at
let's
the
say
end,
PSG.
They didn't have that clarity. PSG and ultimately that you got to have a plan, man. Yeah. You got to be able to take them down, and it can't be so. They can't be so frazzled, and they were shook for a lot of the time. They didn't play with serenity at all.
No, what we saw was a team in PSG that was. You could see the pressure was getting to them, and what you saw in BVB was determination. They were determined not to let PSG score. And, I mean, sure, we could talk all day about
across
the two legs. Six times the pole was hit. There's one of them. Honestly, PSG was Kendrick and the post was Drake. How many times you gonna hit this dude? Yo, chill. You won already. But here's the thing, I think, for me, when we talk about the post, it's a great anecdote, but let's not forget, those aren't shots on target. You know what I mean? These aren't necessarily near saves. Maybe they, in this one in particular, I think you would have beat the keeper had it gone on frame. But these are shots off frame. This is another example of PSG not rising to the occasion. And we spoke in almost pure poetry yesterday about how what this moment called for PSG, what this moment called for Mbappe, what this moment called for from Luis Enrique. And none of them rose to that occasion. No one stepped on stage stepped into that spotlight.
I think it's really interesting that you say that, because one player or two players, I'll start with the first one that I really want to get stuck into, Gonzalo Ramos. This was a big moment for him. He gets his first Champions League start, 65 million euros, paid for the Benfica star. And I go back to what happened in Qatar at the World Cup. And I'm going to say this, Cristiano Ronaldo fans are going to be loving this moment because he was the one that was supposed to put Ronaldo in the dust. Scores a hat trick against Switzerland, and everyone's thinking, this is the new guy that's going to lead the way for Portugal. This is the new guy that's going to be the next world superstar. And this guy couldn't even fry my hamburger at McDonald's right now. He was that bad. He was just off. The two sitters that he missed, I was sitting there shaking my head. I was watching it at a pub in Lower Manhattan, drinking water, of course, but at a pub in Lower Manhattan. And I just thought, this is the moment for him. And he fluffed his lines. The pressure was too big for that play in particular.
I feel like it's a little bit harsh. He was bad yesterday, without a doubt.
I don't think it's harsh, but it's a bit of a cop-out for the rest of the team.
That's what I feel like. The responsibility really fell on Dembele's shoulders, on Mbappe's shoulders, mostly Mbappe's shoulders. We did paint out a picture for this to be the stage where Mbappe cooks his masterpiece for his swan song in the Champions League for PSG to go out guns blazing and take this team to one more final and give it a shot. And it just felt like in this anticlimactic end to the whole Mbappe legacy at PSG, where it's just like the fireworks were dampened and the volume was just slowly faded away. And that's how they went out.
I think it's worse than that. I think it's worse. Imagine you watch the whole movie, and at the end, Liam Neeson doesn't find his daughter. You're like, what did I waste?
Liam Neeson didn't even pick up on a clue as to where the daughter was.
I've got a special set of skills, and they're like, sir, you're calling an Arby's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not even talking to the kidnappers.
Actually.
That's literally what we wasted our time here with. This whole movie, this whole script, this whole beautiful tragedy was played out, and at the end, the hero was supposed to get the girl, and neither one of those characters made it to the final.
Well, the person that was supposed to play best supporting actor in that film was Ousmane Dembele. And Ousmane Dembele, for all the glory we've been giving him coming into this, and I raised my hand up because I was felt like the ringleader of that, saying,
he was great.
This guy was the last couple of games before. But the one
this
thing
series.
As a winger that you cannot do in a match like this, you have to be able to cross the ball.
Yeah.
3 for 16 on crosses. And typically, I go, okay, that doesn't mean anything. But when you watch the tape, you watch the match over and over again, did so well, did 95% of the work. Him and Hakimi, take him out next week and work on crosses. Because it was almost as if three of his crosses found teammates, the rest hit the ultras in row Z. And you can't do that in a match like this of the biggest proportions. Mm. And it just frustrated me watching it. And Nico, you and I talked about it, of every second that ticked, you thought, okay, so much is coming down this right-hand side. The fullbacks overlapping, Nuno Mendes was being effective with Mbappe more defensively because Jadon Sancho was a threat in transition. But down the right-hand side, You look, Gonzalo Ramos is in this team for one reason. As a center forward, you thrive on services. He needs quality of service. And then maybe that's what impacted his poor performance, was not the quality of service and also the lack of finishing.
They all had chances. And they all missed.
Many, many chances.
30 shots of total.
All right, guys, time now for our Auto Trader player spotlight. If you see a car, find it on Auto Trader. And we are focusing on the goal scorer from yesterday, Max Hummels. Good awareness here on the corner. And just, I mean, there's nobody in front of him.
Look at this. Look at this. Oh, he stared Beraldo down the entire time. And then knew that that moment of weakness, Dortmund had PSG studied. Donnarumma's nowhere to be found, mm-hmm. service to the right place. You know what I liked about Hummels, though? Even though he scored, his celebration wasn't over the top. He knew that there was a long road to go in this game in order to pull off the unthinkable. Mm-hmm. And they did it. It was between him and Schlotterbeck. They had fantastic games. Mats Hummels over the two legs was the MVP. And he gets a shot at redemption alongside Marco Reus again in the Champions League finals. Those are the two players that have survived from the 2013 Champions League final in Wembley.
In Wembley, against Bayern.
Against Bayern.
Yeah. Mm. How crazy is that? I think this is a show of experience, right? Mm-hmm. PSG fielded the youngest team in a Champions League semifinal since 2008-2009. And Mats Hummels, the elder statesman, if you will, we all talked about he's too slow, he's too this. Mm. That man knows where he wants to go next. That man knows who's out of position. That man knows what to do in those moments, and he proved it time and time again.
His anticipation on Mbappe for a couple of plays, especially at the beginning to set the tone, was really good. His spacing awareness, his anticipation, it's top for such an experienced center back. It's great to see that he's able to lead the line because he left Dortmund, let's remember. He went to Bayern. The one that stayed the whole time was Marco Reus. And we're seeing at this point in his career an extraordinary version of Mats Hummels, which is great.
So I know you didn't get the script that you necessarily wanted, but this is kind of a beautiful story for these two players, for Dortmund, Alexis.
It is, but it's also got to be frustrating if you're a Dortmund fan, no? I mean, the way they played through in the league, they were out of the title, the Bundesliga title, and now all of a sudden in this competition, out of nowhere, we talked about how they basically kind of backed their way out of the group stage, and they sort of found ways to win.
In a bit, because what they did was you get back to a Champions League final, but they won their first Der Klassiker in over, a decade. Mm-hmm. So you beat your arch rivals at Bayern, you go to Bavaria, you do that, and you guys watch that game. Who's the best player on the field that day?
Julian Brandt?
Mats Hummels.
Okay.
Mats Hummels was man of the match. Second with Brandt. Yeah. But Mats Hummels, man of the match. And you talk about exploiting PSG as a weakness. There's only one team in the Champions League that's given up more set-piece goals. That's Royal Antwerp than PSG.
Jeez. Yeah.
That was their fourth set-piece goal they gave up. So Edin Terzic, he got the one-up. He found the weakness. And Mats Hummels epitomized it, doing it yet again to France. Wait, World Cup 2018. Sorry, 2014.
Does this make six in a row semifinal legs that PSG have lost?
No, because they made the final against Bayern in the COVID year.
But the six, going back to 2021.
No, there was only had four seasons since then.
26 legs.
Oh, six legs.
Across the last three.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's six legs in a row they've lost.
The thing with Dortmund, though, to what you're saying, I understand it, but they won in their Klassiker in a meaningless their Klassiker that's only maybe just for the pride. Bundesliga has been over.
Tell that to BVB fans.
I get that, but in the grand scheme of things, like for Bayern, it was over. It's not the same motivation. I don't know if it can be considered in the same context as their Klassiker that you would want to win in the Champions League final, which is much more important. Yeah, it's for the bragging rights, for the pride, for the confidence. Of course, it absolutely all works out. But the season that they've had in the Bundesliga has been absolutely underwhelming. They were out of the title race way before January, which is not good enough for the Dortmund standards. Who
not at all. This run
all
might be saving Terzic's job.
Day. And is. the crazy part out of this is the saving grace. Yeah. Right. Because had he not gotten this far in the Champions League final, we've been fairly critical of Terzic, and there was a time where media and fans were reflecting is, hey, are we going down the right path here? Because Dortmund was bleeding by Christmas break. And it's just
so wholeheartedly ironic that we have a strong possibility of getting a Der Klassiker Champions League final when these two have not been even close to being the best two teams in Germany. Mm-hmm. They've been so far off the mark. This is the longest that both Dortmund and Bayern have been off the mark this far off for a really long time, and they could possibly both be in the Champions League final.
Last thing I'll say is Jadon Sancho in a Champions League final in England.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Wow.
Come on.
Wow. Storylines aplenty.
Let's go.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.